Hello, welcome, or welcome back. I'm so overjoyed to have you here today, whether it's your first time listening or you've listened to every single piece of content that I've put out there into the ethers. If you are new to me, let me introduce myself. My name is Mallory Page. I am a registered dietitian, and I'm also the creator of the Seems Like Diet Culture podcast and also this YouTube video that you may be watching. As you guys know, you can watch the podcast episodes on YouTube and you can watch or listen to the YouTube content in these videos on the podcast. And this content is all about sharing with you what areas of nutrition, wellness, exercise, fitness, body image, current events could be entrenched in diet culture or have influences of diet culture that you just may not be aware of. Because, guys, diet culture is so pervasive and it's so powerful. It really is everywhere. And it's hard to even pinpoint it sometimes. And that's exactly why I make the content I do, because I want to help illuminate the ways that that may show up within different areas you may not even think that they could be showing up, which is part of the reason why I wanted to make this specific episode today as well. So today we are going to be talking about body positivity versus body neutrality and the differences between the two, but also what it is that you should be almost trying to search for or what you should be trying to accomplish at the end of your body image journey. And as always, with any piece of content I put out there, I'm never trying to tell you what you need to do or say this is what you have to be going for. I'm trying to just give you the information and illuminate things so that you can make an informed decision for you. And I do think this is very important with this topic, because there are ways that trying to strive for something that isn't actually well aligned with you can really complicate things or discourage you on a journey with body image. So, to start us off, I feel like it's the most important to discuss the differences between body positivity and body neutrality. And I am going to be touching on body acceptance as well at the end, so don't feel like I'm just ignoring that, but I want to set the groundwork with body positivity versus body neutrality first. So the first movement that started off that was trying to combat our typical body image standards was the body positive movement. So this doesn't necessarily have specific origins. All of these movements, right, it's kind of hard to pinpoint exactly when they started. But there are people that say that back to the 1960s, the fat rights movement was part of what spurred the body positive movement. So there is this article about anti-fatness and diet culture in the United States called More People Should Be Fat. And Bill Fabre reached out to its author, who was Lou Lauterbach, and the men were talking about how fat people were mistreated. And so because of that, they tried to organize this small group of people. And this group actually became known as the National Association of Aid Fat Americans. And they worked to liberate and improve life for the fat community through education and advocacy. Now their name today is the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. And so this movement, some say, put this off to quite a solid start, the body positive movement. And yet at the same time, the Fat Underground movement, which was a feminist group out of California, wanted to see even more change and bring about more liberation to people, and especially people in larger bodies. And so they also really worked to motivate others to have more inclusion around body image. And although these two groups are well known as pieces to the body positive movement puzzle, I will say that from what I have heard in my own research and even just from viewing this from a perspective of someone that is quite involved in body positivity, body neutrality, all of those types of realms, Black women and minority groups were huge drivers for the body positive movement. Because when you think about it, minority groups, especially Black women, were the people that experienced the most judgment and the most hate, even under the typical diet culture guise. And so they also simultaneously would have the most motivation to be pushing against these systems. So I just want to personally make note of the fact that from my perspective, they were the ones that really put this on their back. And although there were groups that then helped to push this along, that was where it originated. And once the body positive movement really got going, it kind of took a life of its own, if you could say that. And the way that I would define the body positive mindset, what body positivity really is a social movement that promotes a positive view of all bodies, regardless of size, shape, skin tone, gender, and physical abilities. Now, keep this definition in mind because it's important when we come into body neutrality and start to kind of compare and contrast those two. But what I will continue to say about body positivity now is we see most people familiar with body positivity more than anything else, especially because of its involvement on social media. There are a lot of people that post about body positivity in a lot of different types of bodies, but also, to be fair, there are a lot of people in arguably quite smaller bodies, especially white women, that post about body positivity too. There's nothing wrong with that, but I will say that that does influence the view that we often have of body positivity, right? Because it originally was made to accept people of all different sizes, but often it's confiscated by people that arguably all look more similar. So just something to keep in mind. Now, when we move to body neutrality, this in and of itself is a much newer concept. We didn't even really start hearing much about this until around 2015, which is quite recent. And this does not mean that body neutrality didn't exist before this point, but it does mean that it was not really in the mainstream. And just like body positivity, we don't know exactly who started body neutrality. From my research, someone named Anne Poyer, which is who is a certified intuitive eating counselor and eating disorder specialist, started using this phrase to help clients build a healthier balance between food and exercise. And she described body neutrality as prioritizing the body's function and what it can do rather than its appearance. And according to her, she says that we shouldn't love or hate our bodies. We should just be neutral about them. So when you think about the body neutral approach, there are a lot of different ways that you can view it, and a lot of different people that honestly say it should be described in different ways. One of the ways that I like to view it, and a definition that I really appreciate, is that the body neutral approach leans towards this belief that it doesn't matter if you think your body is beautiful or not, because your value is not tied to your body, and your happiness doesn't have to depend on how your body looks. Now, as I start to explain this, I think you can probably start to see the differences between this and the body positive approach. Because the body positive approach says your body is beautiful no matter what. And inherently within that, this is still centering beauty and centering the importance of being beautiful. So when we think about this idea of your value is not your looks, so you do not need to feel positive about it or feel beautiful, versus you should view yourself as beautiful because beauty is still important and should be there for people of all shapes, sizes, and all different things, races, everything, you can start to see that both ideas at their core have a similar goal, right? They both want people to be able to be accepted. They want people to be able to feel happy and comfortable in their body, but they're taking different routes to help people get there. I want to share to some ideas or examples of how this can look in order to help illuminate this, because sometimes I feel like, at least when I first heard about this idea years ago, I felt like, are we just like grasping for straws here? Are they that different? Is it important to be on one side or another side? And so I think that these more tangible examples can help to illuminate this. And I want to give credit where credit is due. These examples that I'm sharing are actually from an account that I will share within the description of this. It's called, oh my gosh, it's literally going from my mind right in this moment. But it's basically called like the Body Beautiful book or something along those lines. And this was something on their Instagram. So here's what body positivity would sound like. I'm going to read that first. And then the other example is what body neutrality would sound like. Body positivity says, I feel good about myself because I know I'm beautiful. Body neutrality says, how I feel about myself has nothing to do with my appearance. Body positivity says, feeling attractive is a prerequisite to happiness. Body neutrality says, being preoccupied with what you see in the mirror leads to unhappiness. Body positivity says, understand that your body is beautiful, flaws and all. Body neutrality says, understand that your outer shell is only a single, not all that interesting part of yourself. Body positivity says that media messages suggest there's only one way to be attractive. Body neutrality says media messages that suggest being attractive is what's important. Last one, body positivity says we need to change the definition of beauty in our society. Body neutrality says we need to change the value of beauty in our society. So as I read through those examples, hopefully that helps to formulate these descriptions a little bit more definitively. And also, maybe you start to think a little bit about what feels best for you. And that's what I want to go into next, is which of these should you personally be striving for on your journey with body image? Now, you guys are going to dislike me because I'm giving my go-to answer that no one ever wants to hear, which is, per usual, it depends on what feels good for you. Now, let me please explain why I say that before you're like, gosh, this girl always says that stuff. To explain why I say this, I want to start off by laying a groundwork that the most important thing to me when it comes to body image is for you to feel more accepting of yourself. That's the most important thing. And to go along with that, I don't want that acceptance for you to be contingent on a certain look, on a certain size, on a certain weight. I want it to be something that has depth and that will continue throughout the rest of your life. And so the way that you feel motivated to get to that, and the way that you feel as if that is possible, is going to be unique to you because every single one of us is different. And something that I have as a perspective that other providers sometimes don't have, and that's not a right or wrong, it's just different, is I'm a big believer of use the motivation that you need for the next step rather than what is quote unquote right. So I'm going to use an example. I swear I'm coming back to answering this question, but just to illuminate what I'm saying, something that I often will use with my clients is, let's say that they're afraid of eating a certain amount of food or eating a certain food. I'll say to them, use the affirmation in that moment of, my body can't change from a meal or a day. And even though in the long term, what we actually want is for them to not even worry if their body changes because they trust their body and they know that it's okay and they know that changes are going to come about if they need to. in that moment, it's better that we just use the next step to help move you forward, because as we take action, it will help to shift your mindset. And as we have more time, we can also shift your mindset. So I would say that this is a similar circumstance, in that maybe even what resonates with you in this moment and what feels possible in this moment could change as well. But to illuminate some of my perspective on which I typically lean towards and teach from, I want to share a story about one of my clients. So this client that worked with me in Live Unrestricted, when she came to me, she was so terrified of her body changing. And she had very understandable reasons as to why. She felt like from a young age, she had people that were always commenting on her body and commented quite negatively on how she looked, and that she was quote unquote the funny friend in school and the quote unquote bigger friend, and just some things that impacted her from a really young age that were hard. And then when she went through these disordered patterns with food, she ended up having some changes to her body, and she had a noticeable shift in how people treated her. Not only just people in her life and her periphery, but also her family, because they were dealing with their own disordered mindsets around people's bodies and their own judgment. And so when she thought about this idea of trying to achieve body acceptance or neutrality or being positive to her body, it all felt so overwhelming. And the thing that she found is when she heard about the idea of body neutrality, as someone that had only previously heard about body positivity, she felt freed, because in her heart of hearts in that moment, she felt like, I am never going to be able to love or feel positive about these elements of my body. I'm never going to feel positive about XYZ thing because I have so many experiences that make me feel that way. So this idea of body neutrality was this golden light for her. I don't know why I just said golden light. I mean like shining light. Like it felt really affirming and really good for her. And it made her feel like she could take this pressure off of herself, that she didn't have to love herself. She didn't have to feel positive. She just needed to take steps to not be so heavily emotionally affected by changes. If she has a bad body image day, it doesn't need to ruin her entire day and change all of her habits. And if she has a good body image day, it doesn't mean she needs to feel euphoric and that's the only time she experiences happiness. Now, I want to contrast this with another story of someone that I worked with in Live Unrestricted. When she heard about the concept of body neutrality, she felt very adverse to the idea, because she was actually going into her wedding day not too long after the program, and she said, well, I want to be at my wedding and look at myself in my dress and think, I look so hot. Like, I look freaking amazing, and I want to be able to accept myself, even accept the insecurities that I have, that maybe in the past I just always have disliked or even hated. I want to be able to accept those. I want to be in the mirror and feel confident and feel good and feel positive. And so the idea of body neutrality for her in that moment didn't feel good, because she didn't like this idea of having to just let go altogether of this idea of wanting to feel beautiful, of wanting to feel attractive. And so those two experiences show just examples of how these may be resonating for you. And it could be a million things in between these two examples that are coming up for you as well. It does not just have to be one or the other. But what I would say is use what resonates with you. And then as you feel like you get some momentum, I would take another step back and evaluate these things. And I want to share some of my perspective on which I like to use and why, and which I typically ideally want for an end goal with my clients and why, which is body neutrality. Again, I want to emphasize, I'm not saying you have to use body neutrality. I'm saying that body neutrality to me is something that I find to generate a lot of success in the long term, and I want to explain to you why I see it that way. The reason as to why I found that body neutrality works well is because at its core, what it is trying to do is minimize our attachment to emotional fluctuations that occur around our body. So you guys have heard me talk about many a time how our emotions, especially when we're in a disordered relationship with ourselves and our body, can feel so up and down, like a roller coaster, right? And you are so attached to that roller coaster when you're struggling with your body. It's as if you are seated so deep in that roller coaster and you just cannot get off. You know, when it comes to the place and that little, like, what's the word? Like, where you dock on and off, that does not seem right. But you get what I'm saying. When you get onto a roller coaster, but every single time you go around, the attendants don't seem to let you out. Like, they don't let the bar up and you just keep going around and around and around. And you've gone around so many times, you start thinking, I'm never going to freaking get off this roller coaster. I'm so stuck. And that, to me, is signifying how you are on that emotional roller coaster with your body. So when you have a good day where you like how your body looks, it's a good day in general. You feel euphoric, you feel happy, you feel like everything could be going right. Maybe you have confidence. But when it's a bad day, everything's going bad. When you don't like how your body looks, I should say, everything becomes a bad day in general. And that can affect your confidence, how you feel, how you show up in your life, all of those different things. But to me, body positivity, because it is still saying, hey, you need to feel positive about your body, it's almost expecting that the roller coaster that you've been on for so long that you know so well is all of a sudden just going to completely flatten out into a straight line. Like, you've been on this roller coaster 6 million times, and it's essentially expecting for it to just become this line where there's only positive. Which, when you think about it that way, it doesn't feel super realistic, because it would be similar to saying that in our life in general, we're only going to experience positive emotions. But that's not what life is, right? Negative emotions give us context to experiencing positive emotions in their most full form, and simultaneously, we don't need to only experience positive emotions to lead a very fulfilled and wonderful life. In fact, we want to recognize that we are not our emotions and we don't need to be defined by them. Instead, we are us, and our emotions are just things that come in and out that we experience. So body neutrality takes you out of the seat of that car on the roller coaster. And it plops you onto the side. Like, you know, when you're sitting at the amusement park and you're looking up at the roller coaster in the sky and you're like, oh, look at those people going around. And you're happy for them that they're on the roller coaster, or you're indifferent to the fact they're on the roller coaster. You're not judging them, right? Just like you wouldn't be judging your past self. But at the same time, you may recognize that you don't want to be on that roller coaster right now. Maybe it's not one that looks appealing to you anymore, and so you're ready to be free of that. So you can watch them go up and down and up and down on that roller coaster, but you recognize that you're separate from that now, and you're an observer. And that's what I find body neutrality can do. You are almost sitting there watching the emotions come in around your body image, the highs and the lows, but you don't have to attach to them. You don't have to say, oh, I'm feeling confident about my body today. That means that I am good enough, that I am worthy, that I can love myself, that people will find me attractive, yada, yada, yada. And when you have bad or challenging emotions, I don't even like the good and bad, but just challenging emotions, or, you know, less challenging emotions, right? Versus the good and bad. But going back to the challenging emotions, when you have those, it doesn't mean that you're unlovable and that you're unworthy and that you're unattractive and that no one's ever going to love you. You just notice them. And that is the power of being able to just notice our emotions or our thoughts without attaching to them. And when we tie this back to the bigger picture with body image. There is something important that I want to pinpoint here. The thing about diet culture in and of itself is diet culture and beauty and our society's obsession with beauty, they're besties. You know those little hand-holding emojis? Like, they are shaking hands. They're making business deals left and right. They're like, oh yes, we work together. We are yin and yang. Because diet culture is an obsession with having a small body despite anything else and putting that on a pedestal over mental health, physical health, emotional health. And the obsession with beauty is very similar. Do beauty at any cost, sacrifice things to be beautiful. And once you do this, once you have a smaller body or once you are beautiful, you will be happy. But that is not true. It's not that I am saying that beauty or having a smaller body do not have influences in our society in very unfair ways. There are 100% ways that diet culture and society very unfairly will change their treatment of someone depending on how they look or depending on the size of their body. But we do know that that does not mean that that equals happiness or fulfillment. Because true happiness and fulfillment, although it can be affected by our external environment, our internal environment is really what makes a big difference. And this is why people in all different sizes, shapes, races, bodies, beauty levels can have confidence in themselves, can feel attractive, right? So when we think about body neutrality in comparison to body positivity, that desire of body neutrality to de-emphasize the importance of looks and beauty is very intriguing and alluring to me personally, which is why I typically share this mindset. Because to me, any time that we can decentralize this obsession with diet culture and this obsession with beauty from our lives, we typically end up with quite a positive end result. And that is what I've seen with my clients, is that when we focus on enriching their life and enriching their view of themselves through being less obsessed about their body, focusing more on what lights them up, no longer having these obsessions with food or exercise, and instead start to find all of the things that make them worthy, that make them who they are, and having relationships in their life that support that, it leads to such sustainable long-term changes and such acceptance, which we'll get into the body acceptance in a second. And again, I don't think body positivity is wrong, but I have seen people that have really tried to strive for body positivity that have ended up either frustrated because they feel like, well, I feel positive about my body, but society still doesn't adhere to this idea of body positivity, and that makes me feel less beautiful than I feel I am in my mind, and that dissonance creates frustration, and or they still find themselves centralizing beauty continuously, still feeling like their beauty is their worth, still feeling like they have flaws and those flaws need to be accepted, versus body neutrality is like, your flaws are made up. Like, society gave you an idea of flaws. Like, why is cellulite a flaw other than our societal conditioning? It's not a flaw. Like, why is anything a flaw? It's not. It's just that society has convinced us it's a flaw because if we believe that we have flaws, it is profitable. It's profitable for diet culture and for the beauty industry to think that we have something wrong with us. I'm clearly getting very passionate. It just gets me going. Okay. But what I was going to build off of with this body neutrality conversation is that to me, there is body positivity, there is body neutrality, and then there is body acceptance. And I speak about body acceptance last because to me, body neutrality is the gateway to acceptance. Because when we think about basically putting all of these things on a spectrum. We have body hate to body love, and we don't need to have some definitive place that we are on the spectrum, but if you put body hate to body love, you can see how body neutrality, it's kind of like body hate, body dislike, body neutrality, body acceptance, maybe body like, body love. That's just some examples. You can kind of go back and forth on that spectrum, again, without it changing your worth. And hopefully, let's say you are at body hate, you feel like you can move throughout a process of accepting your body, throughout a process of healing your body image, to more of a middle ground, let's say around a 5, that you hover continuously, where you're around that neutrality. And then simultaneously, there may be times where you actually start to recognize that you don't even just feel neutral, you feel accepting. Neutrality to me is more so where we experience all these things and we feel like we're kind of indifferent to them. You know, there's the ups and the downs, and they don't affect us like they used to, but we're just like, okay, sure. Body acceptance is when we start to accept that all of these things are actually a part of our journey, part of what make us who we are, and we start to feel like there's almost a little bit more appreciation for them. There's a little bit more of this feeling of, if neutrality is more so void of emotion, acceptance is more so moving a step into that positive emotion because of the fact that you appreciate and see in the greater scheme of things what this has done for you. And I always say, and this is very important, especially when I'm working with people and I'm talking them through the process of healing body image, you don't want to even go in my opinion, with the end goal of body acceptance in a way that's pressuring. Like, you can want to achieve acceptance, but don't expect yourself to be going through the journey of healing your body in every single moment, having to relate a thought or an emotion back to, well, this is good for me. Like, no. I use this analogy a lot in Love Unrestricted, essentially, where I say that if we try to force ourselves to accept every single thing that happens to us, even as we're going through the wound of it, it feels like when you are literally 30 seconds out of a breakup with someone that you thought you were going to marry, and someone's like, well, you're gonna find your partner soon. And you're like, shut up. We broke up 30 seconds ago. And yeah, 5 years later, when you are in a relationship and you're so much happy and you realize it was so wonderful and that relationship was toxic and all of that stuff, then you feel like, oh, I'm so happy that happened, right? You accept that that was a part of your journey, but you don't need to hear that in the moment. So that's why I say that body neutrality is the destination that we can shoot for, that often feels so much more achievable, so much more attainable, so much less scary and intimidating. And at the end of that, we can imagine this acceptance that feels so good, where we recognize why all of this occurred and how this supports us now. And within that neutrality and acceptance, we can move up and down on a spectrum of experiencing things all the way up to, holy crap, I look so freaking hot today and I'm so confident, all the way down to, I'm not feeling as hot today. My cycle's about to start in 2 days and I'm over it. And all of those things are fine because we have disconnected that experience from our worth, which is so freaking powerful. And one other perspective that I want to share on the kind of concept of body neutrality and why this can feel really powerful for people is this thread that I read this time from people that were disabled. And this included people that were disabled physically in wheelchairs or, you know, any different rendition of that, and people that were disabled in a way that people couldn't always see from the outside. And this thread was very powerful. I should have saved it, and I wish that I had, and I don't remember where it was, and I've tried to find it a million times and I can't. But they were just talking about how for them, this idea of being positive about the fact that they're in a wheelchair or the fact that they're disabled just did not even feel alluring to them. Because in doing so, it almost felt for them like, oh yeah, let me be positive about the car accident that I got into when a drunk driver hit me that disabled me for the rest of my life. they didn't feel like that in and of itself was actually accepting of them, which contradicts the whole body positivity movement of like accepting all shapes, sizes, colors, races, everything. And I just thought it was an interesting perspective. And they shared, and this is like, I'm kind of summarizing certain people, everyone had different perspectives, right? But they also shared how, on the other hand, body neutrality or body acceptance felt more attainable because they felt like, yeah, I can be neutral to this, or I cannot allow this to ruin every single day of the rest of my life. Like, I don't want to wake up every day for the rest of my life feeling miserable because I'm in a wheelchair, miserable because I have this invisible illness. But at the same time, I don't feel like I should be forced to feel positive. I can feel accepting even, but that end goal of positivity at all times doesn't even feel realistic. And so that's just another perspective that I think is really powerful and important that we recognize, because there are so many different people on this earth with different experiences that we can't understand because we're not them. And so even sometimes when we start a movement, it can feel like, oh, this is so accepting to everybody. But then as times change and things change and we get more information, that may evolve. So I hope that this episode helped to do three things. Number one, explain more about the difference between body neutrality, body positivity, and body acceptance. Number two, help you to decide which is resonating with you. And then number three, shared different perspectives so that you can really start to think about these more critically and understand how you want to utilize them in your life. And what I would just leave you with as my last piece is, don't ever feel like you should shame yourself or shame someone else for choosing an option. The end goal, as I shared at the beginning, is to feel better in your body so that you can live a more fulfilled life, so that you can be more free of thoughts that don't serve you. And that is more important than anything, that and respecting others. So I also feel like on a diet culture scale, these are hard to rank. But personally, I do think that body positivity has a little bit of diet culture that's mingled in there. Maybe I would give it like a 2 or 3. It would be low. Maybe a 3. Because I don't think it was ever the intent. But I think it's just interesting to note the ways that it can get in there and kind of make us still want to focus on booty. Beauty, or kind of this idea of achieving that as an end-all be-all. And even body neutrality, although I wouldn't put it on a scale, just know that even with a concept like that, there are still ways where a concept like body neutrality that is all about decentralizing beauty and diet culture can have people that share it in a diet culture way. And that is especially true with all of this stuff. We always think about these concepts and people that share them as inherently distanced from diet culture, but just because they share about a topic doesn't mean that they aren't still sharing it in potentially a way that is diet culture-y. I feel like what I'm about to go into is a whole other episode in and of itself, talking about the way that body positivity and the body image movements look on Instagram. So I'm not going to go into that now. But what I will say is that I really hope that you enjoyed this, and I'm so grateful that you are here. I feel like I mentioned my program Live Unrestricted often in this episode, and it is pretty timely because it is actually just opening up as of when you're listening to this. It will have just opened up. I was trying to math that out in my head as I was thinking about it. So the link for that is below. You can book a free call with me to chat more. I have a free 15-minute call that you can book with me. And then also, if you're interested specifically in Live Unrestricted, there's a longer call. So check any of those out down below. And ultimately, I'm so appreciative of you. This is what happens. My speech starts to go at the end. Just for hanging out with me. And if you enjoy this and you want to give this video a thumbs up, if you're on podcast, give this a rating or a review. If you're listening anywhere else, send me a DM and tell me what you thought. I always really, really appreciate that. So thank you for hanging out with me, as I've said 600 times, and I will stop this now.